And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm expecting change. Amen. I'm expecting change. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. Jesus is coming. Tell somebody, Jesus is coming into my Jerusalem. Yeah, you know, Jerusalem means house of peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have a house of peace? Yeah. Well, Jesus is walking down the dusty roads to your house. Come in on the fold, on the colt of a foal. Can you tell your neighbor, that's just a baby donkey. That's just a baby donkey. A donkey and the colt of a foal. Amen. I thank God for him. He's lowly, humble. Can you say humble? Oh, I tell you, I'm asking God to help me with this particular characteristic, to be humble. To be humble. To be what? That's how our Lord came. He didn't come as a king riding on a horse. Hear me now. He's coming. The day is coming when he comes as a king. But he first came as a servant king. Can you say servant king? Since we cannot miss these teachings as we go through the book of Matthew, that's the book we'll be looking at. The text is given in all the Gospels. But I like Matthew's account, because Matthew talks about the fulfilling of Scripture. Isn't that a blessing? Only Matthew talks about this was written so that. He's pointing back to the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. So, as I said, we are celebrating Palm Sunday today. Amen. Many of you are aware, but I'll still say it. It was the last Sunday Jesus was in Jerusalem. It was the last Sunday Jesus was on earth as a man in a physical body. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. As I said, this account, for those of you who are taking notes, it's in Mark chapter 1, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, Matthew 21, 1 to 11, and Luke 19, 29 to 40, and John chapter 12, 12 to 19. But our text, I'm going to read from Matthew's account, so if you don't mind, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, and let's read the Word of God before we begin to dissect the Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, let's read verse 1 and 2. And I'll jump over to verse 9. Amen. It says here, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Jesus' instruction was, loose them and bring them unto me. Can you go to verse 3 quickly? I need to read verse 3. And if any human being ask you, you shall say, the Lord. Whom you shall say?
The Lord.
The King of Kings. Say that some people say Jesus didn't call himself Lord. He did right here. He said to them, tell you the Lord have need of them. Can you say the Lord have need of them? Yes. And straightway he will send them. Tell somebody, instructions are important. Amen. If Jesus tells you to say something, that's what you say. You don't have to add. You don't have to embellish to impress him. Amen. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you jump over to verse 9? Verse 9 quickly. Verse 9 says, now the crowd is with Jesus and they're moving into Jerusalem. They came from Bethany and they're making their way to Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem, they passed through a village. They stopped at a village called Bethphage. Bethphage means the house of figs. I don't have time to preach on that today because I got so much to tell you. The Lord laid on my heart. Amen. And as they're coming down, the crowd that's with him and the crowd were from Galilee. These were Galileans who had seen the miracle of Jesus. You remembered? They saw his miracle and they wanted to make him king right away. And Jesus forbade it. You remembered? These are people, hear me, saints. These are the common people. Can you say common people? Yes, that's the first crowd we are told. Now, there's another crowd in Jerusalem. Looking at him like he's nothing. The aristocrats, the high priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Herodians looking at him. That's a different crowd. Looking down at him like he's nothing. But the people, let me tell you since, the people matter. Well, some of you are... You think you are in charge? Let me tell you, the people matter. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So the common folk are with Jesus. Say the common folk. Listen. Jesus, you will see in a while, Jesus, the Messiah, is said to be just. Can you say just? Just. Come on. How many of you would agree that common folk need justice? They need what? Justice. Common folk need justice. Yeah, because there is a lot of injustice in the world today. There is a lot of inequity in the world today. But Jesus one day is coming to make everything all right. Can you say praise the Lord? You know, some of you looking at me, let me share with you. There is going to come a day when the haves today will be the haves, will be the have-nots. And the have-nots today will be the haves. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's coming a day when those you think have something, they'll be nothingers, if there's such a word. Nothingers. That's why you and I need to keep our eyes on whom? You keep your eye on Jesus. When you keep your eye on Jesus, you don't practice favoritism. Well, yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? You keep eye on Jesus, you treat everybody right. Are you with me? No human in your sight is more important than another. Jesus is coming to set it straight. Well, one day, can you say one day? One day, he's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. So we are told that he's coming down, verse 9, and as he's coming down with the crowd, most of them are Galileans, and the multitude went before him and followed him, and they cried. So they surrounded him, they had seen his miracles, and they were sure, they were fully persuaded that he's the Messiah. And they came saying, what are they saying? They cried. The word cried, I means they shouted. It was nothing quiet. You know, are you getting what I'm saying? It was what? Nothing quiet. I don't know why fucking church want to be quiet. I don't know why fucking church want to be quiet. Let me say it the third time. Some of you looking at me like I'm speaking French. I don't know why people think fucking church should be quiet. There is nothing like that in heaven. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I understand if you like quiet, I understand. I have no problem with that. But that is not the norm in heaven. Anyhow, let me move on. I'm not saying that you just make noise deliberately, but if you're praising God, the Bible says, let the sea roar and praise God. That's what the Bible says. Let the sea roar. Let everything come alive and give him glory. No, let me tell you, I wasn't like that. I was never like that. I was taught to be very quiet. I was very peaceful in church. Because that's how I grew up. I grew up at first in the Catholic Church. Some of you know, do not know, but I was a Catholic Church. I was an altar boy, and we were very quiet. Praise the Lord. Man, mommy became a Pentecostal, and things changed. So Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. They're coming, and they're shouting what? They're shouting what? Hosanna to whom? And they said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of whom? They said, and they repeated it, Hosanna in the... You know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means save now. Or as some commentators said, Lord, save when? Not tomorrow. Now, why save us from what? What are they asking God to save us from? Here's what they're asking God to save us from. Save us from Roman oppression. We've been held down by the Romans for years. Can you save us from the Roman fist, the iron fist of Rome?
They are not saying to save us from the destruction of the enemy. That's why Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you with me, saints? He's coming to change the old covenant into a new covenant. He's coming to ensure, and that is what you cannot miss. He's coming to ensure that he deals with the situation on a spiritual level first. Yeah, yeah. That's why he came as a lowly king. Just. He has to deal with their problem on a spiritual level first. Uh-huh. And then he's coming in Revelation as the real King of Kings. But that is what you cannot miss. You cannot miss that our issue has two dimensions to it. It has a spiritual dimension and it has a natural, a physical dimension, because we live simultaneously in two realms. So they are crying, Jesus, save us from the iron fist of Rome. And Jesus, the scripture is saying, yeah, Jesus came to save, but not the way you want him to. He came to save, not to overthrow the Roman government now. Oh yeah, Rome will be overthrown, but not today. Are you with me? But he's saying, what I came to do, I came to overthrow the force, the demonic force that's behind Rome. Are you getting me, saints? That's what he's saying. I come, yeah, I'm here, I'm coming, and I'm coming in a way as the Bible declares, not the way you want me to. The Bible says, how did he come? He comes on a what? On a donkey. More specifically, he comes on a baby donkey. Now, you know, a baby donkey. I have an exhibit. Do you have the exhibit? Let me show you right here. Let me show you. I got an exhibit of a baby donkey so you can see what Jesus came on. The Bible says he came into Jerusalem. It's a very familiar story. This is a donkey and a baby donkey. Jesus rode the baby donkey. No, watch me, saints. There is a horse commanders, kings ride on. Then there is a donkey the common folk ride on. And there is a baby donkey, the common of the commonest folk, ride on. Riding on that baby donkey, typically one's feet would be dragging. Just, you see the imagery? One's feet would be dragging. A king riding on a baby donkey, his feet, they're dragging. What kind of stupidness is that? Let me tell you, and that is where we get, that's where, brothers and sisters, that's where we lose it. That's where we miss God. We look at the situation and then judge it by what we see. Like some of you here judging where we are by who's here. Let me share with you this right here. Once God is here, once Jesus is in the house, it's going to be all right. It matters who's here or who's not here. Once Jesus is here, Jesus can change your situation just like that. And that's why he sent me to tell you he has heard your hosanna. Yeah, God sent me to tell you he has heard your save now. That's what he sent me to tell you. He said, I have heard your save now. That is why since I said at the beginning, I've been teaching this for years. And I've never seen this aspect of it. Where Jesus is coming, he's going to deal with the spiritual forces. Amen. That's oppressing, that's spiritual forces that's influencing Rome to oppress the people. And he is coming in, telling them, help is here, but you got to see it for real. Amen. You got to look past what you see to know that help is here. Are you getting me? Hosanna, save now. Lord Jesus, save now. And Jesus sent me to tell you today, I heard your hosanna. By the way, that's the title of my sermon today. The Lord Jesus has heard your hosanna. So if you've been asking Jesus, Lord, I need you to deliver me from this situation, the Lord sent me to tell you, he's heard your hosanna. If you've been saying, Lord, save me from this situation that's about to embarrass me, the Lord sent me to tell you, he's heard your hosanna. If you're saying, Lord, I'm about to sink deep, and not only that, I'm the one responsible for where I am. I cannot help myself. The Lord is saying, I've heard your hosanna. I've heard your cry. Listen, this is what the Lord said me to. Hear me, I'm telling you, saints, I need you to, because I don't want you to miss this right here. You remember when God came down, when God met Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Last night I was preparing the sermon and I just sat on the sofa. And I just begin to talk
to the Lord. And the Lord told me to tell my people that just like I came to Moses, and I told Moses, I came because I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I'm come to deliver them. Tell them, so too I've heard their hosanna.
Oh, God, I give you praise. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for hearing my hosanna? Oh, I think it's somewhere in Exodus chapter 3. You got it? Exodus chapter 3 somewhere. I'm trying to get it. Lord, help me. I'm so excited this morning because that dealt with me first. I felt God in my... Can you go to verse 9? Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. I needed that word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 9. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of whom? The children of Israel is come up unto me. The Lord is saying, the cry of the saints and imitators of God ministries. Oh, God, I give you praise. That's what he sent me to tell you. He said, tell them I've heard their cry. Tell them I've heard their hosanna. And if you're looking today, hear me, if you're looking today, 2 days, an unprecedented day, the Lord has heard your hosanna. Yes, yes, yes. And that is why change is coming. And Elder Brenda, I was in the sofa, and then when the Lord placed that in my spirit, I jumped up. And he said, how long have you been ministry? I said, you know, the truth is, since 2011, and this year is 13 years. 13 years we've been preaching the word of God. Are you with me? And the Lord said, numerology, you like numbers, right? Look up 13. So I went and I saw 13 was when Ishmael, hallelujah, was circumcised. Then I went further. I saw 13 years after the temple of Solomon was built. Tell your neighbor, it's completed. Look, there is a phase of completion that had to take place before the Lord heard your hosanna. Today, it's completed. Yes, 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 it's completed, and now help is here. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, the Lord has heard my hosanna. Yeah, yeah, the Lord has heard my... I want you to leave walking out here saying the Lord has heard my hosanna. Since, hear me. I told God when he called me to preach, I said, I need you to help me. I said, I do not want to preach and leave what I'm preaching on the pages of the Bible and not make it so that I benefit. I don't want you to just preach and talk about the story and walk away. How does it benefit me? Now I can come here and do a good preaching and just talk about the events back then. Jerusalem swelled to 2.5 million and so on and so forth. And then we all clap and we go home. But I need to know, how does that relate to me now? Are you getting me? Because everybody's tuned into one radio station. And I'll tell you what it is. W. WIIFM. Here it is. What's in it for me? Yes, preacher, you're talking. Yes, preacher, I'm hearing you. But what is in it there for me? That's why Jesus told the disciples. He said, after he preached, he said, why can't you understand? He said, can't you perceive? Can't you see? I just healed. I just fed 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 3 fish, and you cannot get it. You cannot make the link as to who I am. You hear me? And that's what we suffer from. Just reading and explaining. And it's left on the pages of the Bible and we walk away. Everybody's happy. I need to know how it benefits me. Look, hear me. I am after revelation knowledge. Because hear me, without revelation knowledge, your life cannot be changed. Without revelation knowledge, you cannot be bettered. You need revelation knowledge to change. There is another aspect you need to change. After you get the knowledge, you need to act on it. Huh? You need to know what act. You need to tell God, okay, you showed me how ugly I am. You understand? I'm telling you, I've told God that. I've heard preachers preach, and then when I heard them preach, it's like he took a knife and he just tore me up.
And I felt so bad because it was the Holy Spirit telling me, that's the kind of man you are. You're not a good man. I need you to change. And I say, God, I went in prayer. I say, God, you have shown me how bad a person I am. Now I need you to empower me so I could change. Well, some of you, you know, you see, there is an aspect of Christianity God loves. And when you walk into it, that's when you begin to change. And that is when you take responsibility for where you are. Yeah, you see, most of us Christians don't do that. We just say, it is God, it is God, it is God. No. The Bible says we are laborers together. We are our co-laborers. You do your part, God does his part. My part is to recognize who I am and ask God to strengthen me with might in the inner man by his spirit. That's the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Are you with me? And then when God does that and you act on it, then you begin to change. And God said, okay, I can trust her with more. I can trust him with more because they did what I told them initially. Well, some of you, well, are you getting what I'm saying, saints? You cannot miss what's happening in Matthew chapter 21. God sent me to tell you he has heard your... Yeah. And you don't just say it in here. You leave saying, oh, the Lord has heard my hosanna. You call your friends and say, guess what, girl? The Lord has heard my hosanna. Oh, you call everybody. You put it on Facebook. Hey, y'all, the Lord has heard my hosanna. Come on, you... when you're fully persuaded, when you're fully convinced, you act like a child. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think I'll put that on my Facebook page this afternoon. Guess what, y'all? The Lord has heard my hosanna. Change is here. Change for the better is here. And since those are the things we cannot miss, hear me. Those are the things we cannot miss as we go through the Bible, as we travel through the Bible. You need to ask God to show you how relevant this is, how we can benefit from what's written. Hear me. There is the logos, the written word, and there is rhema, the spoken word. From the written word, you get revelation. And then when you get revelation, you release that revelation through rhema, what you say. Are you getting me what I'm saying? Now here's why, now hear me, here's why what Jesus did is so important. You see, Jesus didn't just do the things he did because he won his own. Jesus wasn't a renegade. Hello, somebody. Jesus told them, I'm doing what I see the Father does. You hear me? Jesus was not a renegade. He wasn't just out there on his own doing whatsoever he wants. Jesus was under God's authority. He was not under the Pharisees' authority. They didn't like him. They didn't like God. He was not under the Sadducees' authority. Amen? For that matter, they said, no man spoke like this man. We've never heard anybody. Because he spoke with so much authority. You see, the other Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would quote their papa preachers. Hello, somebody. Well, some of you don't listen to me. But not Jesus. He quoted what he heard his father said. He heard what the Spirit of truth said. Come on, son. That's why they said, we've never heard this somebody's, because he speak with authority. He speak like he's been endowed with something. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, can you say thank God for Jesus? So that's why we cannot miss what he's doing. Listen, he's coming down the dusty roads of Jerusalem because 520 years ago, a prophet called Zechariah said how the Messiah would come down the streets of Jerusalem. Tell your neighbor, that's why it's good to stay in the word. Yeah, it's good to stay in the word. Because when you stay in the word, God tells you what's going to happen. Amen. He speaks to you. 500 years ago, a prophet called Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Can you go to Zechariah 9:9? Because the Bible says he's coming into Jerusalem. He's coming, which means he had to get out of Jerusalem. Amen. To come in. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I promise I won't be long. I said I won't be long. Lord, help me. When I got 45 minutes, give me a clue, okay? 45 minutes. Yeah, we can do the rest next year or next week, huh? Zechariah
Zechariah, Z-E-C-K. Z-E-C-K-H. A. You got it? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It reads, hallelujah. Listen to what an old prophet, hear me, Miss Lynette, he was not on any radio station. He was not on any TV station. He was not popular. But he had God. He lived in the backside of a desert, a little village, not known. But he prophesied, the Holy Ghost came on Zechariah. And he began to prophesy. He said, rejoice greatly. Rejoice what? He's talking to him. Is he talking to the world or church folk? That's what he's talking to us. Saints, that's why we come here. We're supposed to rejoice. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. What he said? No. You all didn't hear what he said. You all don't believe that. I just spoke about being quiet in church. The Bible is telling you. Do you know? Anyhow, let me leave that alone. Shout, O daughter of whom? Yeah. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, look out. Your, who's coming? Your king, who is he, our king? Cometh unto you. Colon, he's going to tell you how he's coming. He's what? He's a just God. How many of you know we need justice in this world today? Yeah, we need justice in this world today. Amen. The system out there is rigged. Amen. Are you getting on? The system out, but hear me. It's not beyond your reach. It doesn't matter how rigged it is. If you got God, you can change it. You know why? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart, the supervisor's heart, those who are in government, those who are in authority, their hearts are in the hands of the Lord. You need to see that verse. For some of you are afraid of supervisors. Pray them out! Afraid of politicians. You go ahead. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Sit down there behaving like you have no power. The devil is a liar. Proverbs 21 verse 1. Let's read it. It says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Is who? Do you believe that? And the king is representative of all those who are in authority. Supervisors, those who are in government, politicians, presidents, Congress. The Bible says in Chronicles 7:14, you don't have to turn there. If my people who are called by mine, there are conditions, you know, to that, to the last part. If my people first who are what?
Called
by my name. You know, to be called by his name, you have to know his name.
Yes.
And guess what they must do? Shall what? Humble themselves. And what must they do? Pray. Oh, he said, then, if that happens. He said, pray. He said, if Wednesday night prayer meeting is filled. Minister Jim, let me tell you what I used to do. Before I understood what I got myself involved in, I used to stay home and prayer meeting going, and I would stay home. And then on Sunday morning, on Wednesday evening, I think I can come and move the devil. And then I start talking of how much problems I have and how much issues I have. I'm not realizing there is a war going on. There is a what? A war going on. And I'm just sitting home and not fighting. And guess who is fighting against me? The devil. He wants to frustrate you so you can curse God and die. That's what he wants you to do. He wants the wrong thing to come from your mouth, because the Bible says by your words you will be what? And by your words you shall be what? Yes, sir. So he wants you to say the wrong thing. And so what he does, he mounts up the pressure on you while you're home, just doing nothing. He's lining up his stuff. He's lining up his goons, his devils, his little demons against you. To frustrate you. See, I didn't understand that. Timothy didn't understand that until Paul told him, join me and fight the good fight of faith.
He said, Timothy, you got to fight the good. And that word for fight is praying. Look it up in the Greek. It means to pray. He said, Timothy, join me in praying and fighting on your knees. That's what you do. You remember? You forgot in Daniel chapter 10 when Daniel prayed and God said, go. And then when the angel was sent, the prince of Persia began to fight with the angel that's going to give Daniel his answer. It still happens. It still happens. So while you and I are at the house, enjoying food. Amen. Anyhow, I think I strayed. Let me get back on this. Let me get back on text, on task. Say, Pastor, get back on task. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. The king's heart is in whose hands? The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As what? As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever you will. He can turn people, heart in whatsoever direction. But you have a part to play. You have to be nice. And you get what I'm saying? You have to be nice. You have to be respectful. At work. So when you pray, God will look at you and look at the supervisor and said, you're not touching my child today. I'm going to ensure that I answer my child's request. I've been hearing the Hosanna and I've been looking. Look, I have given you a chance to change, sir. And you haven't changed. Today, things are going to change. Amen. That's why you and I have to be humble. Well, the Bible says he was what? He was just. Zechariah 9:9. Let us see some of the characteristics that we Christians should embrace. Amen. He is coming. Zechariah told them 520 years how he's coming. They missed him. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. He's just. He has four things about him that we should, amen, take note of. The Bible says he's just and having what? He has a package. He has a package. He's not coming empty handed. Hey, glory be to God. He has a package. And then he's what? Look, can you say humble? Yeah. Can you say humble? Humble, humble, humble. Because if you're fighting, God cannot fight for you. If you think you can just fight on your own and do your own thing, God said, okay, you got it. I'm out of here. Amen. But if you're humble and if you are lowly, maybe God can touch the heart of your husbands. Let me move around. Let me move on here. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, what the Bible says? The Bible says he has a package called what? Salvation. And he what? He's lowly. And what he's doing? He's riding upon what? How did they miss that? How did the elites of society miss that? How did the scribes, and they were the custodians of the law. You know why? They were corrupted. They were sucking up to the Romans so they can be prosperous. They forget God's people and God forgot them. God's people have been crying for years, Hosanna, 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 help, help. And the leaders of the Jews joined the Romans to oppress the Jews. Some of, hear me. 95% of the Jews that are the wailing wall are not Christians. Some of you looking at me like, they are Orthodox Jews, they are still waiting for Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you. Some of you here, he's talking against Jerusalem. No, I'm talking the truth. Jesus called the Jews, he said, you have the devil, your father. I didn't say that, I'm just telling you. 95% of those at the wailing wall, wailing. I had a friend of mine, said, a pastor friend said to me, Pastor, why don't we go to Jerusalem at the wailing? I said, and do what? I said, what am I have to wail about? I said, when those at the wailing wall realize that he is our Messiah came, maybe I'll join them, but what am I going to wail about? Some of you just hear me. You need to take that Christianity has to become real to you. It is you and Jesus. And when you get real with Jesus, he'll open your eyes. He'll show you the truth. When you're honest, when you take out that facade and say, Lord, here I am.
as the song says, without one plea. You remember that song? Just I am with Let me tell you, we need to get back to these old songs. They make sense. On these songs I grew up, amen. I'm trying to adjust with the new songs today. I'm getting a headache. But you know, these old songs, they have meaning. These are people who walked with God and talked with God, sold out to God, and God gave them a song. So quickly, I just realized I haven't got much time left. There are two reasons why Jesus walking down to Jerusalem is important. Two reasons we have to ensure we understand. One, it was prophesied. 520 years, so it had to come to pass. Jesus couldn't come into Jerusalem on a smooth Cadillac. No. Because the word did not say that. Are you getting what? The word said he's coming on a what? The fall. That's what. And then because the word says that, he has to submit to the word. So he couldn't come boom, 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 boom. No. That's not in my notes. I just heard that in the spirit. It doesn't matter how you and I turn, we see how important the word is. The word of God is so important. You and I need to learn to submit to God's word. Some Christians, some preachers are afraid to get into God's word. They're afraid they don't understand it. You can't on your own. You can't. You need the Holy Ghost to help you. So why don't you get off your proud horse and humble yourself and just start reading. Just let it pass through your mind. You say, Pastor, I cannot read. Yeah, that's no excuse. Adult education is just around the corner. Enroll in a class. Hello, somebody. I'm telling you all the kind of excuses I've gotten from people. They call me and say, Pastor, whose fault is that? You see, before I used to be really nice and say, is that so? Wow. Now I say, it's your fault. I start getting bold. It's your fault. You can go down to TCC at the Adult Education Center and they'll help you. I know people who are doing it every day. If you want to experience, God didn't send his word on a videotape, on a cassette tape. He didn't send it on a CD. He put it in what? Yeah. So you have to do what you have to do to be able to read God's word. Hello, somebody. That I'm talking about being humble. You all think humility is people walking around in a long dress, you know. That's not humility. Let me, can I be honest with you, Elder Brenda? Some of the proudest people are those who dress from top to bottom. Proud and hard-hearted. I know, I've met a few of them, yeah. Yeah, don't let the outward look fool you. Well, anyhow, let me move on. Yes, again, Pastor, you get out of order. Okay, riding upon an ass and the colt of an ass. That's how he's coming in. He has to come that way because God's word said he has to come that way. Another reason he had to come on that day is because Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 that Jesus had to come 70 weeks. Was God, while the Israelites were in Persia, before the Jeremiah, let me back up. Jeremiah prophesied to them, and Daniel 9:24. And they, through Jeremiah, God said, you're going into captivity for 70 weeks. They thought it was 70 weeks. It is 70 times 7. So 70 weeks pass, and they're in Persia, still in captivity, and they're asking God, what's going on? So Daniel said, okay, 70 weeks passed. Let me go to God. And that's, the man said, let me go to God. Everybody's asking, let me ask the elder. You go to God. So the man fasted, went to God, and God sent Gabriel to tell him how long they're going to be in captivity. 70 what? 70 weeks are determined. According to the Bible, 1 week is 7 years. Remembered, I haven't got the time to go there, but you remembered when Jacob came to Laban and said, hey, you fooled me. You didn't give me Rachel, you gave me Leah. And he said, well, fulfill her week. It means work another 7 years. So in the Bible, 1 week is already 7 years. Amen. So it's going to be 70 times 7. 490 years. And God said, there's a reason why I'm going to let you all stay there 490 years. You all have been bad in the desert. You all have been stiff-necked and rebellious. You joined Baal Peor and sacrificed your children to the devil. And God said, listen, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city. To finish what? Lord have mercy. All the transgressions, not only that, to make what? An end of what? Sins. And to make what? For injury. And to bring what? And to seal up the visions and prophecies and to anoint the most holy place. Listen. Look at me. If you've been multitasking, look at me. When I say multitasking, I mean if you've been sleeping and trying to listen at the same time. Amen. I see you all multitasking all the time. Amen. I never call you out. Amen. That's okay if you multitask. Now you're up. Amen. Now you're just tasking. Praise God. Listen. Listen. I had never seen that before, Elder Brenda. Do you know everything here? Only one person can accomplish everything here. Only Jesus can bring transgressions to an end. Only Jesus, Lord, I wish I had time to explain that. Only Jesus can bring an end to sins. Because you see, in the Old Testament, their sins were covered. New Testament sins are erased. Come on, somebody. Are you getting me? Oh, hallelujah. Only Jesus can make reconciliation for iniquity. Only Jesus can stand between God and the human race. Only Jesus can bring everlasting righteousness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin so that we will become the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, I give you praise. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. That's why he came down the dusty roads of Jerusalem. I am here as prophesied. Yeah, the Bible said he set his face like a flint because he had you and I in mind. He told the devil, bring it on. Bring it on. I got Emmanuel on mind. I got Imitators of God Ministries on mind. I got Minister Jim on mind. I got Lynette on mind. Bring it on. You know, I've been preaching that for 13 years. Never saw that until last night. Because God sent me to tell you, he has heard your hosanna. He has heard your hosanna. Help has been dispatched. Saints, I'm sharing this with you. There is no big bang in this place. But hear me. What I'm telling you here, God told me to tell you last night. He has sent Jesus. Just like he heard their cry and he sent Jesus, he heard our cries here as a church. And he sent me to tell you, he heard you. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Yeah, he heard you. He heard you. Tell your neighbor, help is on the way. Tell him, help is on the way. Oh, I wish I had time to finish this sermon. But I tell you, I got the gist of it. The Lord has heard my hosanna. Come on, tell your neighbor, the Lord has heard my hosanna. Yeah. I've been saying, save now, God. Deliver now, God. Make a way. God said, today is the day my angels have been dispatched. Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you. Can you lift your hands and give him praise? Can you lift your hands and give him glory? He said, today my hosanna has been heard. Talk about it, dance about it, tell somebody about it. Tell them deliverance has been dispatched. Things are changing for me now. Things are are changing for me now. Things are changing for me now. Things are changing for me now.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today. Knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capitol Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church, 850-408-8496.